session number 16576, Jim Miller, Reel 2.
Mr. Miller, Reel 2. We were talking about when you worked at the as a fishmonger's boy.
Yes.
You used to go to the fish market.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I had this guy go down there, and he used to load the barrel up, and there, cobblestones leading from the fish market up to the streets, where the trams used to do, the tram cars. This was the east end of Sunderland again. And he used to give me a push up the bank, Blegger on a level road. Then he would get on his bike, he had a bike, and go to the shop. And I had to pull his barrow. Phew, it was heavy, I was on it. When I got to the fish shop, all this fish was put in an ice tank, blocks of ice, because there wasn't any refrigerator there. Any. And they gave me blocks of ice, and God, yeah. And then there was fish called gurnets. I used to skin them, those spikes and everything. Anyway, I learnt a lot about the fish and that. And at the fish market as well, at the fish quay, they're called the fish quay, there was, and the crabs were a leg off, they used to sling them out, you know, and fish were a head off, you know, caught that. And the kids were down there picking all this fish up. Nothing wrong with them. Young cuddling, you know. Anyway, I used to get fish up, Mr. Wardle as well, to take home. And I used to have a basket. I didn't have a bike. I had a basket, and I used to take orders out, and they were nearly all Jewish people I used to go to, especially on a Friday, big day that was, with fish. And they had a greengrocer shop as well, next door. So I had to work for them as well. Worked on it, I was doing two shops. Now, there was the Victoria Hall in Sunderland, right opposite the shop. And he said to me, he said, would you like to work in the Victoria Hall? And I said, well done. He said, selling programmes, chocolates and cigarettes. Oh, yeah. And I was just stunk of fish, you know. And at night time, I used to go to the Victoria Hall, where all the players were on, Quality Street, you know. And then I used to go up and down, chocolates, cigarettes, programmes. Well, every dozen programmes I saw, there was one extra penny, you know, that was my liking. It was a few coppers extra, like. And I had the two jobs. And my mother, you know, she was all right. I was giving her, she had all the money. I was kind of a shilling, I think. And when I was 14, of course, I started going to dances. Morrison's Hall in Bridge Street, Sunderland. Morrison's. Doing the Black Bottom, Charleston. And I used to dance with big girls. I was sort of like that Wisdom bloke. What's his name?
Norman Wisdom.
He used to fall over and laughing. You know, he was in the army as well. He was, you know. In India, he was. He got brought out. Norman, that was it. I used to do daft things like that, you know, put me around a big fat girl. Anyway, oh, I used to go with my sister. That's right, my sister used to take me. My sister Daisy, the one that was in Australia. And that's right now.
Did you have any interest in any of the boys' organisations, like Boy Scouts or anything like that?
Yes, oh yeah, I was in the Cubs. Vauxhall's Own was the name of the Cubs. Yeah, but I used to do all them things. I got a scout knife. My dad bought me a scout knife and I cut my thumb on it. That's what I can't understand. They're talking about handing all your knives in. How about the Boy Scouts? Anyway, there's a few thousand being added. Handing, there must be millions knocking about. You know, but anyway. And where was I? Oh, yeah, the dancing. And I'm losing track of him at no
ever. We were talking about the Boy Scouts. What sort of things did you do with them? What sort of things did you do with
the Boy Scouts? I went for my badges. I got some badges, and I don't know when my mother got my jersey from me tie, I couldn't tell you. I liked it, but at the end, I was in the Corps first, that was it. Then I was in the Scouts. I come out anyway. And then we had to go from there.
What about sport? Were you interested in sport at all?
Oh, I liked football.
Did you play or watch? Or?
I played rugby for my school, Hudson Road School. I played rugby. And my mother said, you better pack it in, because when I used to come home working the witch, I had to wash me. Just think of moon. Oh, and we used to... I had some relations and all at New Harrington. That's a part of Sunderland, New Harrington. Clark was the name, and they were all miners. Clark Terrace. And anyway, I had a cousin, a doctor. She was pregnant, and the doctor come to the house and he killed her. I've got the book there. He killed her. He cut her open, and he was drunk. Nelly. Oh God. And I was there at the time, and us kids were all chased out of the house. My mother was there, and yeah, I've got the book there with the story in. The Stories of Sunderland. I'll show you it after anyway. Anyway, I used to watch. I had cousins, and they were all on different shifts up the Dolly Pit, was the name of the pit. Catherine Terrace, that was the street they were in. And I had a sister called, cousin called Dolly, she was named after the pit. She's old, I don't know, she's dead. And my Aunt Kate, that was my mother's sister, all she seemed to be doing was biking, washing, and getting hot water on for my cousins. They were all in different shifts. And that was the first time I saw my Uncle Fred naked, you know. Little bathtub in front of the fire. And the toilets was these, not flush toilets, you know, the bins. And the bin men used to come round emptying them. And I remember in this, they were all colliers houses, cottages. And there was a round ring for the youngsters and a big ring for the ground hoops. And now, when I lived in Hedworth Street, there was two families. There was a family upstairs called Oliver, and we only had the one toilet, and that was in the backyard. We all used to use it, and if you went to go to the toilet with somebody in there, you know, oh dear. And you really couldn't get out. And there was only one wash house, and they used to use them. And I used to have my mother with the ringing machine, the big rollers, ringing around. When I joined a band, me and Scotty Codes, going back to Scotty, we joined the Sullen Street Mission Band. They gave me the French horn to play, and they had a trumpet. And because we were practicing, the neighbours used to come play, so we gave that up anyway. I'd like to know where Scotty is now. He's a great lad. Anyway.
So you had quite a busy life.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, and another thing. My mate was Geordie Blackburn. I mentioned his name before. Well, I knew Geordie when we were 14. There was Geordie Blackburn, Bobby Antlett, and a lad, his dad was an Italian. His brother was an English one, but I forget his name now. And myself, now then, I was only 14 as well. And them three lads, they used to have six bags, Hessian bags. And they'd start off about 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, and walk all the way to Ryhope Colliery. Now the next morning, I would go down to Jimmy Hart's in Sunderland. He used to loan wheelbarrows and things out, and for sixpence, I could get the barra all day. And I used to pull that barra, and cart, all the way to Ryhope. And there was a bank called the Hall Bank, I think it was. And you had to run down it to get up on the other side, like. And by the time I got there, they'd filled six bags of coal. Can you imagine youngsters doing that today? Now, gee, six bags of coal, get them on the cart. And I used to put a rope round my shoulders, you know, because I was in the shafts, run down the whole bank, and my legs sometimes used to leave the ground. And puff and blower would get up at the other side, pull the lot all the way to Sunderland. Pardon me. And we used to Each of our mothers had a bag of coal, there was two left. And we sold that coal, 6 months a bag. And I had the coal. 6 months paid for the barra. We used to do the riddler. And the other 6 months, we had 3 halfpence each. We used to get a penny fish and they ate the chips.
Oh, dear. So what was you were working at the fishmonger and you were in the night at the theatre. What was the next job you got? Or is that when you went to Canada?
I was 16 then. Yeah, in the Canada, yeah.
Did you have any other jobs in between? Or?
Oh, yeah. I did a bit of French polishing. Sullen Street. Not a lot. I didn't like it. French polishing, yeah. Bitsteads. He was a Jew.
Oh. Why did you leave the fishmongers? Why did you leave the fishmongers?
For a better job, for French polishing, as I thought. It was no good. I didn't make it anyway. But I was out of work anyway. That's why I joined up anyway. But
so how did you come to go to Canada? Tell us that story then.
Well, I went with the a group of lads.
What made you decide to go? Because, I mean, you were actually emigrating. I know you came back. But you
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What made you decide to go?
I was out to work. I was only getting 5 shilling groceries. Shit, you know. I wanted to leave. Well, like young lads, I wanted to make a fortune, see. You know. And my sister was the same. Well, she emigrated because... Well, she wanted a better life. I mean, my mother was... We were hard up. You know. And I had a brother in old Billy. He's still alive. He joined the army when he was 14. I've got a picture of him here in his uniform. He joined the Dolomite Infantry. Band boy, Billy, still alive. He served in Malta during the war, Billy. They transferred him to the Northumberland Fusiliers. And he was bugler to the commanding officer there, the Governor General. He was Billy. Anyway, I'm... Jumping me kill. Anyway, I went to Canada and
How did you get to Canada? I mean,
by boat.
No, but I mean, what was the scheme? Because you couldn't.
Oh, Salvation Army. I think it was Salvation Army. That scheme.
How did you apply for it?
Ooh. Well, it was advertised in the paper. I wrote up. I had to go down to Leon C to a big Salvation Army farm there to learn to drive horses and that. It was just like being in the army. You know, we were all in beds. You used to get up in the morning and go to church and things like that.
And they were teaching you what? Teaching you to drive horses?
Yeah.
For farm work?
Yeah. It was rough work, you know. Cleaning the sties out, you know, and all that. That was a big Salvation Army farm.
And how long were you doing that?
Hadley, that was the name of the place, Hadley. Hadley down the south.
And how long were you at that training centre before they actually sent you off?
3 months, maybe 3 months. 3 months. No, I went on the SS Montcalm from Liverpool. Nobody to see me off. And the River St Lawrence was frozen up.
Well, didn't you feel strange leaving your home for good?
No. Funny that. Because when I was a little lad, I was always on the wander. When I was 4 or 3, where we lived in Weir Street, I got out of the back garden. I pulled the balls, I got out anyway. And I remember the chickens being in that garden as well. There were some little chickens there. I was picked up by the police, of course. Didn't know where I was living in there. And my mother found me, and she cooked it was in High Street, there was a police station in High Street, and she was in tears when I seen her, because I was lost. And I was sitting in the sergeant's chair, high chair, and I was covered in jam, and I had a pocket full of pennies, well, the police had given me. And then I went on, and they put other catches on the door to stop me getting out, but I got out again. Got some bricks. I still got out. And I tried to find this police station. I don't know this time how I got back home. Couldn't tell you. But my mother, on my jersey, on my Gansey, what was called the North East Ganseys, my mother had me a name and address stitched on. Please return.
So this was just like an extension of going to Canada, which is like adventure and travel.
Yeah.
What was the journey out like on the Montcalm?
Eh?
What was the journey out like?
Rough. It took nearly a week to get there. There was no planes flying then, you know. And I remember going up the Crow's Nest. And we landed at St. John's, New Brunswick. The lungs were frozen up, and I got to this farm. In fact, I don't know any of the names of the farm. It was all right, but I was just drifting.
What was the work like?
It was hard work. It was getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. They called us hired hands. We were known as hired man. Anyway, I got fed up, and my mother kept writing me to come home, and I think it only cost me 5 quid to come back. And I came back on the SS Montcalm, was it? The Montclair, call that's right now. Canadian Pacific Lines. Landed at... landed in Glasgow.
So how long were you out there for?
Three and a half, 4 years.
But the life there didn't make much impression on you?
No. I've still got my passport. They said I was Canadian. I had to get a Canadian passport. It cost a guinea.
So you went out about 1927, when you were 16?
Something like that, yeah.
And came back about 1930?
That's right, yeah. Well, I came back in the November 30. And I couldn't get a job. I mean, there was unemployment again. I didn't know that. There was 3 million, 3 million men out of work. You know, the North East, especially, you know, it was terrible. And I didn't have any stamps. I couldn't get any dough. I'd been away. And anyway, I was walking. It was on the Friday, about the 9th of January. 31. And I saying, the army needs you. And I said, no. Anyway, I went back home and over the weekend, I thought about it, and I got up on the Monday morning, the 12th of January. I said, I'll go and join the army. I never told my mother, of course. And I went up to Union Street. That's where the recruiting office was. Knocked on the door, come in, I went in. There was this chap, he must have been a sergeant because he had a red sash on. Come to join the army, son. I said, yeah. Yes, mister, or something like that. Artillery? I said, no, I don't do. I want to join the Durham Light Infantry. He says, there's no vacancies. Why do you want to join the Durham Light Infantry? I said, well, all my uncles, was in my dad, his county regiment. No. And he says, have you ever been to Cornwall? I said, no. He says, it's a nice place down there, sunshine and a little oil, and he says, there's a light infantry there. The Duke of Cornwall's light infantry. And I says, oh, I don't want to go on the Duke of Cornwall's light infantry. I want the Durham light infantry. Nah. And I didn't want to join then. So I says, I'll come back next week. And he says, hold on a bit. He says, you are determined. I says, yeah. And he got on the phone, one phone, and he was supposed to be speaking to somebody, general, I don't know. And he says, this young lad wants to join the Durham Light Infantry, sir, and as you know, there's no vacancies, and he's determined. He went, oh, yes. Put the phone, he says, you're lucky, son. He says, there's a vacancy. So I said, oh, dear. And I got it. He gave me a shilling and test it, and railway warrant to Newcastle next day, Tuesday. And I went home and I said, well, I've joined the army, mother. Oh, my God. So the next day, I got on the train and I had to ask where Fenham Barracks was, up the Scotswood Road. And that was where I had to go. And anyway, I got there, up the Barrack Road.
Now, your papers say that you joined the 12th of 1st, 31. Would that be right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But, you know, but...
Yeah, I went to the depot on the 13th, the next day, right? Yes, 12th of January, that's right. And anyway, I got to the barracks and the guardroom was there, like, what do you want? I said, I've joined up. And I must have had some pipers to say I was in the Durhams, you know. Anyway, this sergeant goes, he took me to a barrack room and there were small lads there. And we start meeting one another and asking each other's names, where you come from and all that. And one lad said, God, he says, I wasn't half lucky. He says, I had the last vacancy. Durhams, he pull up. And the lad says, well, I had that. Seemingly, we were all told the same tale. There was such a large recruiting drive for the Durham Light Infantry in them days, with pit lads and unemployment, 14 shilling a week, two brown suits. And the guard, we used to have what they called these.
So he'd been lying to you?
Eh?
The recruiting officer had been lying to you?
Course, they didn't want. You see, what they wanted was to join the Royals or the Suffolk or the West, you know, the Lancashire Fury. See, there was hardly any recruiting for these, you see. And there was a vast lot wanting to join the Durham Light Infantry up the North East. Yeah, there was bad up there. And that was it. And anyway, that was. Then I met the sergeant, Sergeant Wilson. He was going to take charge of us, teach us how to be a soldier. And it was called Salamanca Squad. In them days, the squads were named after Crimean battle honours. Inkerman Squad, Crimea, and Hooge. And, well, there was Hooge as well. All different names, Ian. Anyway, I had to go to the stores to get fitted out. And a chap had it. Me clothes, and he looked at me and he said, what in the hell are you doing here? And I says, hello, Uncle Larry. My uncle, he joined up in the 1906 and 1904. He was a storekeeper for the depot at Benham Barracks. I didn't know this. And he used to be a storekeeper with a battalion. With the 1st Battalion, this was. He was in Ballykinla. I've got a photograph of him in Ballykinla, 1926. Well, the 1st Battalion went on the Rhine after the war, after the First World War, and he married a German girl, Minna. Blonde girl. I remember they come to my mother's house for a holiday, and there was hell let loose. My mother says, what do you want to marry? You know, the German girl, you know. She had two brothers, two of my uncles, and each lost a leg. One lost his right leg, and one lost his left leg. And there was hell let loose, and my mother wouldn't speak to her, and they left the house anyway. But my uncle Larry, he was in married quarters in Fenham Barracks with my Aunt Minna. And I used to go across to the married quarters every night for my supper.
Okay. Now, how many lads were there in the squad, would you say, roughly?
Yeah. In the squad, there was about 40 men, 40 lads.
And Salamanca would be the same?
Yeah, most squads were the same.
And what type, were they the same sort of lads as yourself? What were they like as a group?
Well, just lads out of work and, you know, pit lads, and, you know, they come out the pits and...
Were most of them out of work?
Yeah, there was a Yorkshire lad. He came from Yorkshire. There was a young lad. He came from Alnwick. You know, they were all come from all over the place. And I used to know the names of all these lads. I only know the name of about three or four of them. And Sergeant Flanagan, he's sitting on there. He was our instructor and Corporal Birch.
I thought you were Salamanca squad.
No, I wasn't Salamanca. I've got to tell the tale about that. Right, I wasn't Salamanca. Right.
Right.
And. That's it. And 10 days after being in Salamanca squad, I'd come from my uncle's house on the night time. I'd have my supper. He was married quarters, my uncle Larry. And I was running up the steps into the barrack room, and I slipped. We used to have open-nailed boots in them days, and I slipped on the step. I had a book folded in my right hand, and as I fell, I clutched this book and I broke me knuckles in my right hand. I broke three knuckles. See? They broke. course, I went to the MI room and I was sent down to Catholic Hospital. That's only 10 days after joining up, practically. And so in there, I was in the hospital. I was in the hospital 21 days. I don't know, but I was in the hospital. And I come back and they said it might affect my army life. My trigger thing in that. All those. They're all flattened. Anyway, I Catterick, and then I got in with the old soldiers there.
What were they like?
They were all right. And, well, I liked it, you see, because my arm was in a sling and I was in uniform and travelling down to Catterick in a wounded soldier. You know, a bit of fun, like, you know. And I got to the hospital. I don't know where I got the hospital after getting out the train. I was, anyway, I forgot that. I might have got on the bus. Anyway, I cut the guys. And I learnt how to play a nap, Napoleon. And they were all right, these old soldiers. Some of them had moustaches on. Some from the First World War, I know the ring is. And that was the first time I saluted a woman. The sisters, you had to salute the sisters. They were classified as lieutenants as well, you know. And when the matron came around, if you were in bed, you had the light of attention in bed. No. No. Anyway, I got back to the barracks after treatment. And I was at the barracks nearly 11 months. Because I had to wait for another squad beginning, which was Inkerman's squad. Right? Anyway, Sergeant Flanagan, he was our instructor. He's very strict. And I met him about 5 years ago for the first time. He'd become a major. He'd won the MM. And he was mentioned, he had another medal anyway.
What was he like then as a training sergeant?
Very strict. A good soldier. And he taught us how to be soldiers. Well, I was at the depot 11 months. And while I was at the depot, I passed my third class of education. And I passed my second class of education.
Now, let's look at the whole of your training then. How would it, when you were in, we'll look at it from Inkerman's squad. How would the day start then?
Oh, 6 o'clock, get up. PT, knickers, you know, vest. And we had a pot of cocoa and a biscuit. And it was keep changing to uniform, out of uniform, and then we did square bashing a lot, you know, learning how to salute, up, one, two, three, down. So everything was done like that. Up, one, two, three, down. Your rifle, all your training. And the Durhams, of course, light infantry, they used to carry their rifles at the trial. Not on the shoulder. They did carry them on the shoulder, but it was mostly at the trial. And all our drills was from the trial, what they call the trial. You would fix bayonets on the march. As you were marching, you'd fix the bayonets. And it was quite a life.
But, what did you think of drill?
Pardon?
What did you think of drill?
At the first, horrible, because they used to pull you up, you see, as you were, you know, you had to do properly, you had to stand at attention properly, stand at ease properly, and saluting, if you see a Union Jack flying, you've got to salute it, if you're in uniform.
And you didn't like it at first?
Not at first, it was tough, but we got used to it. Well, all the lads, they were all the same, you know, very strict.